Hi, I'm Allison Hess.
And I'm Stephanie Graham.
Welcome to the Thousand Islands Playhouse Podcast. We have seven amazing shows to dive into for our 2026 season.
Join us as we talk to the artists that will make this season shine and get a behind-the-scenes peek at what's happening this summer, dockside.
Don't forget to tune in
to give your ears a front row seat.
See you at the theater!
Welcome back to the 2026 season of the Playhouse Podcast. We're recording today on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabeg peoples, and we are recording on-site at the Playhouse's production facility. My name is Stephanie Graham, and I am the Artistic Associate here at the Playhouse.
And I am Allison Hess, the Education and Engagement Manager. Today, we will be discussing the gum-snapping, hip-shaking musical, Grease. It's Rydale High in 1959. After falling in love over the summer, Danny and Sandy are shocked to find themselves at the same school for their senior year. When Danny's cool guy image collides with Sandy's sweetness, their love story gets caught between peer pressure, pink ladies, and the roar of hot rods. Grease has the music, style, and spirit of an era that never goes out of fashion.
We are so happy to have in studio with us today director Thomas Alderson, choreographer Jesse Weaver, and assistant choreographer dance captain Tyler Pierce. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Thanks for joining us after a long day of rehearsal. So yeah.
Thank you.
Your body's got to work out, and now your mouths will get a workout, which I guess they do too anyways. Lots of singing in this show too.
Mm-hmm. Thomas, our audiences might have recently seen your work on the St. Lawrence College production of Spring Awakening this past spring in the Fire Hall Theatre. And you have also directed at theatres across Ontario, including Victoria Playhouse Petrolia, Tweed & Company, as well as working as assistant director for the recent Stratford productions of Rent and La Cage aux Folles.
Jesse, you've worked as choreographer for recent Stage West Calgary productions of Footloose and Your Good Man Charlie Brown, as well as starring in that one. And your dancing and performing career has taken you to theaters across Canada and the U.S., including Mirvish, Stratford, Drayton Theatre, national tours, as well as films such as Hairspray and Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
And Tyler, Playhouse audiences saw you in Mamma Mia in 2024, and you've worked as a performer, dance captain, and associate choreographer for musicals across Ontario. Some recent credits include Waitress at Theatre Aquarius and Grand Theatre, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 with Mirvish and Crow's Theatre and the Musical Stage Company, and Shrek, the musical at Young People's Theatre. So welcome all three of you.
You guys have been busy.
Just ups and downs.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, I guess.
As you can hear in your bios, all three of you started as and still often work as performers. Can you tell us a bit about making the transition from performer to creator? What made you want to add the roles of director and choreographer to your toolkit in addition to performing?
I mean, I love the theater all around, and I love musicals a lot. Everyone that knows me knows I live and breathe musicals. I still listen to them in the car like I'm a teenager. And I always liked rehearsal the best. Like, I like the feeling of creating as a group, and I always wanted to be more involved in the creation of the whole thing. And so I like directing because it's the ultimate collaboration position where you have assistant choreographers, musical directors, set designers. You work with everyone involved in the production, not just the cast. And I just like to have my hands in all the pots and make friends. And I just want to make shows with friends. That's all I want to do with this life.
Make shows with friends.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
What about you, Jesse?
Well, yeah, starting, you know, in musicals and whatnot, starting with dance specifically, you know, getting to see my teachers choreograph on me, getting to work with amazing choreographers throughout my history always gave me that little bit of a voice that, like, maybe this is something you would like to try in the future. And getting through to a point where I was comfortable and confident to even think that I could was a really great kind of like little bird that was like, you can do this, just trust yourself a little bit. And then wanted to set, like, pre-pandemic, when before all that stuff happened, I was like, you know, I want to start the conversations and start working and looking at things from a different point of view. And I always like to be challenged. Your Good Man Charlie Brown slipped into my pocket, and that was like sort of a nice transition being in the show as well, seeing if I liked it, seeing if I could handle it or not. And then I got the bite for it, and I was like, oh, I really like creating. And seeing your mind on stage is really weird, and it's also extremely exciting. So this has been a very crazy transition for me, but I'm really excited, and it's been a really wonderfully artistic journey.
What about you, Tyler?
I think for me, it's been like a bit of a newer transition. Like I only started doing like assistant and choreography work and associate choreography work after the pandemic as well. And I guess I spent a lot of time doing theater since I was a kid and like looking at the industry and being up in so many rooms where I thought, you know, maybe I could have something to offer here. Like I remember just sitting down and thinking, oh, a lot of the times when directors and choreographers are working, it's easy to get flustered. I know from choreographing shows myself, you can miss out on a lot of things. And I often thought, oh, what about this? Or I would have these creative thoughts all the time. And I thought, maybe I could be of assistance. I wanted to sort of dip my toes into it as well. And again, also had some phenomenal teachers like in my high school era who like really supported my creative side and wanted me to pursue that. It felt like a natural and easy step into that world for me. And it's a great way for me to continue to build relationships with directors and choreographers and collaborate, which is like my, I think the core of like what I love about this industry and what I love to do.
I will just say Tyler is very good at that.
Yes.
If I'm working on something, I'm like hyper focused on like the two people I'm talking to, and Tyler just is great at slipping in and helping the other people that maybe I don't have the brain capacity to focus on. And it's like, we have moved so much more quickly through this process because of Tyler. It's been amazing. It's been amazing.
Just being able to like have that understanding so quickly of two brains and being to be able to have those opinions and those choices coming where you're like, I would never think that.
This is why we love assistants and associates on yes. on all the shows. And having worked with both Tyler and Thomas as performers, I can say that there definitely has always been a creative part of them that even I observed as a performer. And of course, Jesse and I worked together 20 years ago as performers together as drummers.
Were you like babies?
We definitely were babies.
The babies, yes.
Every creative team is different. Sometimes the role of director and choreographer are very siloed. You sort of touched on this, but sometimes we have one person directing and choreographing everything. Tell us about the working relationship between the three of you as director, choreographer, and dance captain, and how you work together on the show like Grease.
I think a lot of shows feel really cohesive is a word that I like to use. A lot of musicals feel really cohesive when it is the same person directing and choreographing it. So as a director, I like to work with the choreographer that I feel like we speak a similar language. It goes back to the collaboration. I feel really excited about collaborating on the number with the choreographer. And some places, some experiences I've had, it does feel really siloed where the director does the scenes, the choreographer does the musical numbers. But I like to try to bridge that gap, even if it's not one person doing both jobs, if it's two people. Like we've really like had a lot of fun brainstorming sessions, you know, talking about what's the point of the number? What do we want to get across? How do we want to build it? We kind of plan that together. And then Jesse goes away and creates the steps that fit into that mold. And so I hope that the numbers feel like they flow out of the scenes really seamlessly because we've had that collaboration.
Yeah, that was the key thing to really see the picture before putting it on its feet. But the set might look like what we could use, what ideas we could come up with. Having the conceptual aspect of what the show is going to be really helps me be able to go make last minute changes or, you know, like, we don't want this idea, let's try this. So it was really lovely to have that creative input and collaboration so that when we're in the room, we don't waste time. It's like, let's get it on its feet because we don't have the luxury of, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks. So putting all of those elements together really brings a nice flow in the room, and we're getting things done and getting them done to a point where that we can then look back and go, how can we make this even better? How can we put some sparkle? How can we, that doesn't work. And you don't really get that if you try to do everything at the same time.
What really has worked for me in the past is I like to slap it up and not self-judge and just get a version A of it on its feet based on all the conversations that we have. But then once you have it up, it is so much easier to know what needs to be refined. And that has been so fun. Like last Friday night or whatever it was, we like made dinner and we watched some videos that we had taken in rehearsal of some of the sections. And then it just becomes so clear. It's like, you know exactly how to clean this up, how to take it to the next level, add the magic, as I like to call it. But that is really fun to collaborate on together too. Because if you're doing that alone and just making notes, it will improve. But if you're bouncing ideas off of each other, it's so much more effective and fun. Like we were like, we're having fun. Yeah. Like this is our job. It's what I would want to do anyway. Oh, and then I was, the other thing I was going to say about working with Tyler specifically too, is that Jesse was having to do lots of partner work and teach a bunch of hand jive choreographies. So I was like, okay, I'll take the lead on some of the musical numbers that are less movement based, but it was so nice to have Tyler with me on that. Like the song Mooning, for example, with Dan and Roger, so cute. Like we worked with the actors and let them sort of shape what they wanted. And then Tyler and I would jump in with extra ideas if they felt lost or took what they offered and clean it up. And that was really fun. And with two brains doing that all together, it happens so much faster than I thought it would. Another reason to have associates that speak your language. What a blessing.
Normally I find like, or I've been like in assistant or associate positions where it's not as collaborative or, you know, you're there to take notes and to sit back and make sure that everything's running smoothly and offer assistance when needed. They've been so adamant on having me at those meetings, having me in those conversations, and bringing me on board creatively and trusting my creative vision. So that's been really special.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because I wanted Tyler to feel that he had the right to be in the room to have those choices and me being able to trust him. And I never wanted him to just to be my assistant. There's so much more to it, right? And having that third brain on top of our two brains, it was like the cherry on top. And that was my goal, to make sure that he felt that he was part of the collaboration.
Building on that, Tyler, because you're the assistant choreographer, but you're also the dance captain, mm-hmm. and you're in the show. So just briefly, like, just a few jobs. And like, briefly, what is a dance captain, in case our audience might not know?
A dance captain is just responsible for maintaining the integrity of the choreographer's vision while the show's running. So making sure that, you know, they'll like run the dance call, they'll make sure that actors are doing the correct choreography or in the right positions, making sure that everything runs smoothly as the show goes on.
I think in Great Comet, similar to Grease, actually, you were the associate choreographer
and the dance captain as well on that production, which is great, though, because you know what? It's like, if I'm going to do one, I might as well do both, because I'm doing the work anyways on both ends. So it just allows me to get the full picture and to really sink my teeth into all of it, as opposed to doing like half a job, if that makes sense.
Do you find, for Great Comet and your experience with that and the experience so far on this show, do you feel like you just know everything so much more than when you're just a dance captain?
Yeah, it helps me so much as a performer, truly. Like, I really find that when I'm so involved in the process, I really get the whole picture and I get to be attuned to the behind the scenes conversations that normally as just an actor or even just a dance captain, you don't really get to be there for. And I find that helps me really shape my place in the show, really helps me navigate the relationships in the show and understand the creative vision a little bit better.
Jesse, you've worked as a dancer in musicals, both on stage and in film, as well as more commercial dance. What are some of the differences between music theater and commercial work, as well as some of the difference between music theater dance on stage and in film?
And to be clear, we don't mean like a TV commercial when we talk about commercial dance. How would you describe that? Again, if someone's not really aware,
commercial
what that
dance might be. To me, the perfect way is like a music video is commercial dance in my mind. It's interesting because choreography can be performed in any sort of aspect, on a stage, on a sound stage, on a set. What's wonderful about the film aspect of it is you really get immersed in the environment more than you do on stage. Because how many times have I done shows and I'm like, that's what's happening behind me? Mm-hmm. Interesting. But being on film, you actually feel like you're in the world, which is very helpful because on stage, you rely on the audience giving you what you need and the drive to do a show. Whereas on film, you look at a camera and that's all you get. You don't get that response, that immediate response.
Yeah, there's so no applause at the end.
No applause.
When they say cut.
You're like, where's my...
Oh, it's right. Weird.
It's a cut, check in the gates, go home. But having the immersive environment is the replacement, I find, of the audience.
Dance on film, the audience's eye is manipulated by the editor.
100%.
You know, and I think having that experience is when you come to work on stage and the audience could look anywhere they want, mm-hmm. but learning how to focus the audience's eye like they do on film and where you want them to look on stage, I think it's super helpful working in many mediums.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite things as an audience member is seeing a show more than once, and because of course you usually watch where the director wants you to watch or the choreographer, but then you go back the second time and you're like, I'm not going to look there. I'm going to look at all the other places exactly. where they see what's going on in the rest of the show.
I recently went to see Dancing with the Stars live, and it was a really amazing example of this because the show, and it was for a live theater audience, but then every once in a while, they would bring the camera on stage and show you how they film for the television show. So you got to like watch them film a number while they projected it, and you could see how different it is, or like how much smaller everything is, or where the focus lies when it's being designed for film over being front and center, like out towards the audience. So it's a really cool experience as well.
And what an experience as an audience member too, to see both worlds at the same time. That's really cool. I didn't know that.
Thomas, you've said before that a big part of your focus when working on musicals is making them feel cohesive and seamless. I think you did tell us a bit about what that means to you as director in terms of collaboration, but in terms of the focus outside of the choreography, outside of the movement, how do you work with designers and the other members of the production team to create that cohesive vision?
Jesse and I had a meeting before I ever had the first meeting with a set designer, and we sort of talked about what the numbers wanted to achieve and what we wanted to do with them, and imagined like different things we might need. So I felt like that conversation really helped in my initial conversation with the set designer so that I could say, here's a few pictures we're trying to aim for. And then she can layer that in as she comes up with her ideas and concepts for the show. When I talk about cohesivity of a show, it doesn't feel like the story stops when a song starts. And some of these songs are like, they're a dream sequence, but it still comes out of the scene somehow. Even if it is more abrupt than it would be in something else, it still comes out of the scene somehow. If it is a dream sequence, it's like, well, we have to do the character work of figuring out what that character's dream is, how much it means to them, and how joyful the expression of that dream is. And so that it doesn't just feel like scene song, scene song, scene song.
And I love the idea of even like the design coming from the needs of the movement and the story, which I think all good design should, but I think there's different ways of that process happening, and that's really cool.
Yeah. What was really great, because I sort of like, in the first design meeting, I was talking about all the structural and pictures we were considering creating. The show is about celebrating this period, this music, the exuberance of youth, and she found a way to house all of that in the set.
You should come and see it.
Can't wait.
Grease is an iconic musical loved and known by generations of people, with the movie version looming especially large in audiences' minds. How do you balance the expectations of the audience, especially in regards to iconic dances like Hand Jive and Grease Lightning, while still creating a piece that feels authentic to you as directors and choreographers?
That's a question.
Hand Jive, I mean, they do the hand jive. We probably spend a little less time doing the hand jive than maybe other versions. They're going to get it. But we've also really wanted to lean into the fact that it's the hand jive, but it's a dance contest. So we really wanted all the couples to be doing their own thing that's unique to them. But that's kind of the way that we feel like Jesse can really put his stamp on it.
Yeah.
But still, of course, honor the moves that you expect.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, no disrespect to the original, you know, the iconic Grease Lightning, you know, fist pump and the hand
jive.
Shout
out to the original choreographer, Patricia Burt.
Right. Yes. I wanted to honor that, but also, again, put my own stamp on it, remix it slightly, but still give the audience, they can go home. I saw the hand jive. I saw the Grease Lightning, but just in my own way. And with our concept, making numbers more of a dream-like experience gave me the permission to then go, let's go a little bit further with it. Let's explore a different version of a hand jive or a Grease Lightning. Whereas if it wasn't in a dream world, really, I would stick more to what those tracks were invented and created and became so iconic. But, you know, I want people to be like, that's a different version, but still have the same heart that they feel when they watch it. Because, I mean, hand jive specifically is, I was saying to the room, it's like, that's the famous TikTok dance back in the day. So everybody knows it. So you know what I mean? But choreographers have that room to create. And I wanted to be creative and have something a little different.
And then when it comes to Grease Lightning, we wanted to like really celebrate Nikki's vision of what it could be and climax his vision in the dream in the right ways. And so then you focus on those goals that we set out for ourselves and then go, okay, how can we fit in some of the iconic stuff to our structure so it feels true to us, but also gives the audience a little bit of what they're expecting as well.
Because you have to. You have to. You can't be like, I'm axing it all. And then people are like, really? It's just something, don't get rid of it if it has a purpose.
We've tried to not let other versions dictate our version. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you guys have done like an amazing job at keeping it really like fresh and fun in a way that I think younger audiences will really like respond to as well, because I wasn't like a huge Grease person growing up. Like I've seen the movie when I was younger. It's not one that was like a cult classic in my upbringing, but through this process I've had so much fun watching you guys create a world here that still has elements. It still feels nostalgic. I'm like, oh yes, I remember that part of Grease just because it exists in the world. You know what I mean? I feel like you guys have really like done a great job at keeping it fresh and keeping it entertaining while still having this nostalgic aspect to it.
So all three of you, what is your personal relationship with Grease? As we said, it's this iconic movie. It was the highest grossing film of 1978. Fun fact. And some generations have grown up with it. Tyler, you didn't so much. But like, what is that personal relationship like before working on this production? And what of yourself do you bring when you start working on it?
I remember, I have like a pretty distinct memory where my parents were like, you're old enough to handle Grease now. Mm. And like, I remember them like rented Grease, and it was like, you're old enough to watch Grease. And just being like, I want to live in that world. I want people to walk out being reminded of the joy of the first time they saw Grease. Hmm. I mean, and the songs do a lot of that work for me. Mm-hmm. They're great. But yeah, we're just trying to make the entertainment value as high as we can and numbers as joy forward as they can be, so that it scratches the nostalgic itch that we all have.
For me, like, I would say that the movie wasn't the inspiration. It was through like dance competitions when I was growing up. There was a lot of the Grease music. I did a tap to it with my friend Tammy. We go together and we had leather pants and leather black jackets with sequins Grease on the back, and we played Danny and Sandy. So that was my introduction into the show. And then being at I think I was like 10, I did like a very low community version of Grease, and then seeing the movie as a teenager, then I was like, oh, that's where that comes from. Because you know what I mean? So it was a kind of like a combination of a bunch of things, but it always, you know, like Michael Jackson was always in the dance world. Celine Dion was always in the dance world. Grease was like its own sort of
part of the zeitgeist.
Yeah. And it's like, not just in the dance world, but even if people didn't grow up on Grease, they somehow know most of the songs.
Yeah.
So maybe there are people out there that have never seen Grease, and our version's going to be the first time.
That's so cool.
That's a thrill too.
It will be the version.
The version.
Absolutely.
What about you, Allison?
I have very strong memories of reenacting You're the One That I Want, including like the crawling.
And oh my gosh, yes.
In my friend's basement, you know, just having that on repeat and just reinterpreting it as two, like, you know, so 9-year-old girls in a suburban basement.
Perfect. Yeah, I think I saw the movie at a sleepover for sure.
Yeah.
That's great.
I was away the year they did, you know, Grease at my high school. So I was very devastated that I didn't get to be in it. But
and I think I've done it twice.
Have you?
And I played Patty both times.
you're a Patty.
Absolutely.
I'm a Patty at heart.
I can see that.
I always thought I was a RZA, but I'm a Patty at heart.
No.
And sorry, and Tyler, I know you said, you know, it wasn't the thing for you, but do you remember the first time you saw it?
I don't have like a distinct memory of the first time I saw it, but again, like, it's just been so part of the zeitgeist growing up. Like, I've just like, I feel like I knew it, like, you know what I mean? But I've never actually seen a live production of it. So coming into this was like really fun for me because it's kind of starting fresh for me. I'm getting to like learn the show as we go, which is amazing. But I still go, oh yeah, like I recognize this moment. I recognize these things. Like I recently, like in my prep for this, watched Hand Jive from the movie again. I was like blown away from like a cinematic level of being like, oh my gosh, like the large scale like dance numbers that they made and stuff like that. Like the movie's so iconic and so cool. And then also the style of that time was so fun and so electric. And you can tell there's like such a repression that these kids are like needing to like burst out into song and dance. And so it just feels like it really works. And I think that's what's so special about this show. And like, I've been loving getting to learn more about it as we create.
So this is the Grease for you.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah, I've never seen it live before, which is crazy.
I just saw a high school production with 75 kids.
Oh, my wow. gosh.
It was, I got quite emotional, though, because it's like, here is this amazing group of kids doing this iconic show together. Amazing. I was quite emotional at the end of it, just seeing them all come together and collaborate. And they were so excited about it. And We Go Together went on for like 20 minutes. as they all took bows. But it was so special. And I think that the show has this potential to do that. Is there a character in Grease that you identify with or feel the most affection for?
We've been talking to Keisha and Jay, who play Roger and Jan, and they still have some things to work through, and they still have an arc throughout the show, but like those characters are more evolved than the rest of the characters. They're less concerned with putting on the tough guy act or trying to be inauthentic. And really, the show, in my opinion, is about all of the characters' journey to authenticity. Like, Danny is pretending to be something he is not. Danny is the guy that Sandy met that summer. And so we kind of love that Jan and Roger, in their goofy way, lead the pack.
Yeah.
For people visiting the theater, where is a place in Gananoque that you would recommend they check out now that you've been here for a couple of weeks?
Well, we had a little cast get together last Thursday at Stonewater. And when a group of 30 people, cast, crew, stage management, like we all came in.
And, you descend.
I mean, we let them know we were coming. We let them know we were coming. But they were amazing. Yeah. Service was great. Drinks were fabulous. Like,
and the view of the water was like,
oh,
pristine.
The view is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was a really great experience. So shout out to those fabulous people there.
I love the Purple House Cafe. The food is so good there.
And pizza.
Yeah, the pizza is amazing. But they have like amazing bowls there too that I've gotten before. And then also, I'm having car trouble right now, so I went to CarStar Automotive, and they've been really great helping me out. So
yeah. Shout out to CarStar.
CarStar.
Necessities. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Tyler, for coming and speaking with us today, because as I think we've learned, you are very busy. You're doing a lot. You're doing it all. And so I appreciate you taking the time to sit with us and chat with us.
And thank you for having us. It's fun to have this sort of sit-down conversation with the three of us.
Yeah.
Thank you to Matt Muto for recording and editing the Playhouse podcast. And a special thank you to Mark Hunt for composing the theme music for the Thousand Islands Playhouse podcast.
For more information or to purchase tickets, visit us at thousandislandsplayhouse.com.
See you at the theater!